Renegade Radio Afternoon Edition on this fine Thursday here in Atlanta. I am your host, Andy Lowe. We are brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. Respectively, you can find us on the web at renegadeconcepts.com as well as businessradiox.com, which hopefully if you're listening, you already know where that website is. But that's a story for another time. Today, we are going to be talking about some things that are really close and dear to me, one of which being leadership. And joining me today in the studio is Randy Gorick. He's from Leaders Edge 360, and we're going to get into some of the things that you guys need to know about running your companies, leading your companies, growth in companies, and managing change in companies. So, Randy, I'd like to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start off with just a little bit about your company and who you guys are and just a 10,000-foot overview. Tell us what Leaders Edge 360 is all about.
Well, our business is all about developing leaders. You know, what we do is we work with companies who want their managers to become exceptional leaders so they can deliver improved results and advance within their careers. You know, and what we do is we provide leadership and executive coaching. We also do leadership training. We consult with organizations to help them with leadership development planning. And I write and speak on specific leadership topics for associations and corporations.
Well, let's delve in here a little bit to this idea. So you made the distinction for me earlier that there's a difference between a leader and a manager. Take me through that. What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's a number of differences between managers and leaders. And let me focus on my top three favorite.
All right.
That's okay with you.
Sounds like a plan. Let's go for it.
One of the main differences between a manager and a leader is that leaders have a long-range perspective. You know, they are looking out or should be looking out into the future, 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, all depending on where they are positioned in the organization. Managers tend to be looking after what's happening today or what's happening this week or what's happening this month. They're more interested in the monthly results, and they're implementing actions that leaders have already strategized to create. So that to me is one of the bigger reasons for or bigger differences between managers and leaders. Leaders are constantly seeking change. Managers don't like change. They are opposed to change. They like to leave things the way they are. They have a comfort zone. They're interested in staying there. They have comfort in processes. They don't want processes to change. Leaders are constantly looking for change because they're interested in finding more ways to be productive, finding ways to lower costs, finding ways to be more creative. So that's my number two. My number three is probably one of my favorites, and that is leaders ask great questions. Leaders ask great questions. Managers, again, are interested in what's going on now. So an example might be a leader or a manager would say, "So, Andy, how were this month's results?" Because you're interested in knowing what's going on today. Mm-hmm. Whereas a leader might say, "So if we had the chance to do last month over again, what three things would we do differently to get better results?" It's a great question because it causes you to think. It creates some engagement with the employee or the manager. And it also causes you to act because if there's things you could have done better to get better results, let's get it done. You know, a leader might also ask if a manager would say, "So how is Andy, how is this project going?" Because they're just interested in getting this project done. A leader might ask, "So Andy, what three things could prevent us from finishing this project on time?" Again, it causes you to think. So leaders have a tendency to ask great questions, whereas managers are just interested in short-term results.
Makes sense. Now, what do you do if you have to wear both hats? If you're in a business where you are the manager, but you also have to be the leader within the organization?
Yeah, well, you have to wear both hats. There are times when you have to perform management functions and perform as a manager. There are times when you have to throw that manager's hat away and be very serious about providing leadership, making sure that folks are following you versus just doing what you tell them to do.
So with that in mind, what are some of the characteristics or attributes that, that really an effective leader is going to possess?
Well, for me, you know, I have 35 years of experience, practical hands-on experience as a leader in organizations. And I have a leadership platform, which I like to share with others. And the first thing is, if you're going to be an effective leader, you must have unwavering character. You have to have unwavering character, because if you want your people to follow you, they want you want them to trust you. You have to earn that respect. You have to earn that trust. And you can't do it if you have shady characters. You must care about your people, because if you don't care about your people or your team, why would they care about you? And why would they care about your results? If you've got to care about your people. Another attribute.
Can I pause you on that one for a second? Because I got a question there, because I see this in business a lot, where managers are just the head person. I won't even characterize them as a leader or manager, because I think they approach this a little differently. But they want to care about their people. They want to create this great environment, right?
Yep.
And what they end up trying to do is they try to be friends with their people. And it's a lot like being a parent. You know, you want to be friends with your teenager too, but sometimes you have to be the parent and take the friendship hat off. How do you distinguish those two? What does a leader do to care about the people, but yet as a parent would protect a teen, protect them?
You know, it's a common problem for great leaders. It is a fine line. You have to know where that line is. And that line may be different between you and I than it would be between me and, say Tina. Mm-hmm. So it's important for the managers and the leaders to understand that when it gets down to making decisions, you have to make a business decision or a personal decision. You got to make a business decision, because that's what your stakeholders are asking you to do. They're asking you to be a leader. In the years that I have been practicing as a leader, I've been faced with that challenge many times. And sometimes it has caused a loss of friendship. It really has. And it saddens me temporarily. But I felt that if somebody is upset with me because I demonstrated leadership instead of friendship, maybe they weren't such a close friend after all. Today I have a tremendous amount of lifelong friends that at one time worked with me, either directly for me or worked within the organization that I led. And I'm proud of that. In fact, at Christmas, I get more Christmas cards from ex-employees than I do family members. So what does that tell you about my family?
I was going to say, I'm not sure what message that sends. But
exactly.
Well, let's go on through some of the attributes. What are some of the other characteristics that you feel like a good leader encompasses?
I think a great leader must have stellar communication skills. I mean, communication is a huge challenge for anybody in any organization these days because of the fast pace of what goes on in businesses. And many businesses are not just in one location. They're spread across the country. So you have to have great communication skills. And I've learned over the years that communication isn't one-dimensional. There's a variety of different levels of communication that you have to learn to implement to be effective as a leader and in your communication skills.
Well, communication does carry a lot of dimensions, right? I mean,
it does.
There's communication where there's, hey, here's the... we're going to communicate the mission of the company, for example, down to the team, or we're going to communicate vision and change out to the organization. But then there are things in more personal communication. There's how you say things. There's, you know, body language communication. Yeah, I mean, the nonverbal communication is the largest part of the whole deal, right?
It is a huge part of it, and that's my point, is great leaders have to be good at all different levels of communication. I mean, think about a stump speech. You're familiar with the stump speech
mm-hmm.
term?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be clear, concise, and consistent. Because if you're going to deliver a stump speech at location A, you can't change the context of your speech when you go to location B, because A and B are going to talk. So you have to be clear, concise, and consistent with your stump speech. I'm a big fan of focal points. Focal points, for me, are a great way to communicate to your organization something that you're trying to accomplish. And focal points are something that have to be easy to remember, something that is easy to understand, is something that everybody in the organization feels they can contribute to it. But body language, as you point out, things you don't say stand out, things that you do say stand out, things that you do, things that you don't do communicate. Your desk communicates. Your car communicates. Everything that is around you communicates, and you have to be very careful at what you're communicating and know how to do it effectively.
Well, you almost need to be ready to follow up too, right? Because people will pick apart your communication and pull it out of context and kind of make it say what they think they want it to say, or maybe what it shouldn't say, right?
Well, we see a lot of examples of that almost weekly or regularly on the news, where you got some political candidate somewhere saying something and somebody just hears it a little differently or twists it a little bit. So you have to be careful. But I think more importantly is you have to be consistent. And when you have an organization that is in change, let's say, constant change, it's very, very critical that the communication be regular and ongoing, constantly talking to your people. People don't want to be left in the dark. People want to be, they want to know what's going on. They want to be, feel like they're part of it. They don't like surprises. Nobody likes surprises at work, unless it's, you know, a bonus or something.
Right.
Good, but
it's not a little bit of money in it. That's a whole different surprise.
Exactly.
Well, it's a lot like being a parent, right? I mean, you talk about a clear, concise message. I mean, you know, some of the people I see struggling with raising children, they change the message all the time.
Consistency is so important. You know, it's so important. If you aren't consistent, what message are you really sending?
Right.
What credibility do you really have as a leader, or in your example, as a parent? You have to be consistent. And if you're going to be consistently delivering a key message, you have to be behaving the same way. In other words, if you say clean up your room, you got to make sure your room is clean too. Otherwise, again, you have no credibility.
Right. You have to be congruent with your message.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see this a lot with salespeople. They're pitching one thing, but then their communication is another.
Sure.
And it just doesn't work. Well, let me ask this. We hear a lot where people say, you know, true leaders are born. All right, people are born true leaders. I mean, do you believe that's true, or do you believe that someone can learn leadership skills?
No, I'm a firm believer and advocate that leaders can be made. Now, it's true. I'll give you that certain attributes, some characteristics of leadership, somebody may be born with that are easier for them to develop than the person next to them. But anybody who wants to be a leader can be a leader. You just, like anything else, you have to work at it. And so I'm a big fan of saying leaders are made, not necessarily born.
Now, some people believe they're great leaders, and maybe they're not necessarily effective at leadership. I mean, what are some of the common mistakes that you see leadership making that if they'd come spend some time with you, they'd be like, oh, okay.
Probably the biggest mistake that I see new managers make when they think they're a leader is exactly that. They think they've made it. They've got the promotion. Now they're the boss. They are somebody who is in charge. And once you start thinking that you're the boss and you start acting differently and you start behaving differently and you start performing differently, you've lost it. You know, you can't do that. Once you have gotten to the next level, it's important for you to continue to work hard at improving yourself so you can get to the next level and continue to improve in your skills. Thinking you made it is a huge mistake. Another mistake I see new managers making, say your example of salesmen. Let me take a salesman that goes into sales management. And I say this because this happened to me.
All right. Personal story. Here we go.
It's trying to do everything yourself. You know, you are in charge now, so gosh, you're in charge and nobody could do it better than you. Well, after struggling with a new pricing policy back in the mid-80s, some young kid came to me and said, "So Randy, let me help you with that." I said, no, you're just a young kid. You don't know how to do this. I'm the only one in the entire organization that can do this." So as time went on and salespeople and customers were unhappy that this new pricing policy wasn't getting out, I finally gave it to John. And John came back within 2 days. It was perfect. You know, I gave him a little bit of direction. It was perfect. So what I got out of that was, as a leader, the less I do, the more I get done. The less I do, the more I get done. So delegation is a very important part of an effective leader's role, and a lot of people make that mistake as they are newly put into the position.
Well, that's a great point, and I want to ask the counter side of that and see where people should be thinking. So delegation is great, right? But is it also a mistake that some leaders make where they move into a manager/leader position? And the sales manager is a great one, right? Because why do most salespeople want to become a sales manager? Because they think they won't have to sell anymore, right? So they're going to climb out of the trenches, and it's like, hey, I no longer have to be on the front lines. But sometimes people want their leader on the front line with them. How do you balance? How do you know when it's time to be in the trenches with the troops and when it's time to be on the back line directing the troops?
The way I have always thought about it is, if you're a football fan and you watch college football, professional football, it doesn't matter. You have to consider yourself as the coach. And I don't remember the last time I seen a coach call himself to run the ball when it's 4th and 1 from the 1 yard line. You just can't do it. You have to design the play, and you have to delegate it to the right people to carry the ball, block the other players, and get the job done. And if they fail, they fail. You just have to go back and practice. But curbside coaching is an important part of what managers do with salespeople, or at least they should do. But I've been in positions where, and seen situations where, the manager elbows his way to the front of the line, get the salesman out of the way. "Don't worry, son, I'll handle this." That's just not a manager. That's just a senior salesperson trying to become a senior salesperson.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes you run into the old John Maxwell adage about leadership, which is, if you're leading and no one's following, you're really not a leader.
That's exactly right.
So do you think it's easier for someone to come in from the outside and assume a leadership role within an organization, or do you think it's easier for someone to escalate in the ranks within an organization and become a leader? Maybe what are some of the differences in the two challenges?
Yeah, I think it can be done either way, but there is a lot of it depends. It depends on the culture of the company and whether or not the person coming in can adapt to that culture. Think of Home Depot here a few years ago. They had somebody come in, started to change the culture. Didn't work very well. I'm a big fan of growing your own. I was with an organization where we did that. Growing your own is good, because then you can develop your people in a way that is an organized, planned succession event, and they typically don't come with baggage. Somewhere along the way, somebody coming into an organization may have some baggage that you're not aware of, and that can blindside you. It could surprise you.
Now, is that more difficult in today's business world? I mean, once upon a time, you went to work for a company and you stayed there 25, 30 years, right? Nowadays, the lifespan of an executive in a company is much, much shorter. What, we're down to like 2 years, 3 years, something like that?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right about that. The thing that you have to keep in mind, though, is that if you have a good team in place, a good support team in place, leaders are only as good as their team. So if they have the take a CEO position, if they have the big picture, they have the understanding of the vision, and they've got a solid management team around them, they'll win. They'll do fine. You know, once that management team starts to fall apart and starts being replaced with more outsiders, more complexity to an organization, then the chances of success are diminished. But today there are a lot of people move musical chairs, and I think it depends on the industry, depends on the culture, depends on the person on whether or not you're going to have success, and the management team is a big part of it.
Do you work with leaders to identify some of the key characteristics about their leadership style and about the culture within their company so that as they are developing, they can bring the right managers in to support the effort that they've got and not create anarchy within the organization?
There are some of my clients that are very good at that. They have a great history of leadership competencies that they follow, that they evaluate their people on a regular basis, and it works really, really well. So as an example, this one particular company, I said, oh, so are you giving that job to Andy? And they said, no. Andy, we're going to keep Andy. We're going to give him this other job because Andy won't fit in this job. And I said, you're exactly right, based on what it is that I know that they're trying to accomplish. It surprises me that there are so many organizations today, big organizations today, that don't have those competencies well organized, well defined. I'm working with a couple of them now because they realize for them to grow, they have to get it under control. Because if you're not under control with your competencies, you're not under control with your leadership training and development programs, you're just wasting money and you're wasting time and you're not going to achieve the kind of growth success that you hope to.
So when people come to you and they want to bring you in as a speaker or let's start on the front end, even before you come in from a consultation side, but just I know you do a lot of speaking and keynote type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the things that they're looking to learn and maybe some of the attributes they're looking to transfer to their leadership?
The biggest issue that I see in the last 12 to 18 months has been communication. You know, we talked a little bit about it. Communication is so important to engage your employees, to engage your team in your business. There's a lot of studies out there by some pretty big organizations that indicate that employee satisfaction on the job isn't very high. It's actually quite shocking that if there were more jobs available today, we'd see a lot more turnover in organizations at the lower levels. So what I've been asked to do is come in and spend time with, work with, or speak to groups about the importance of communication, the importance of building those relationships so that the employees that are thinking of leaving, let's give them a reason to stay invested here so that they can continue to contribute to the success of our company versus somebody else's company. You've already spent 5 years, you've got 5 years invested in somebody, the cost to replace that person is huge. It's huge. And it's pointless not to have somebody fully productive. You know, 72% of those workers aren't fully productive. They're just putting in time. And it's sad to see. So communication, that strategies that will fully engage their team is what they're looking for.
Well, let's talk about the strategies for a second. I mean, you know, here at Renegade Radio, we talk about breaking the rules of conventional thinking. What are maybe some conventional thought processes around communication that companies are still doing, you know, methodologies they're still using to communicate down through the ranks, but it's time to change. Business has changed, and if you're not getting on the new way of communicating, you're really losing out.
You've got to get rid of email. I mean, email is not a great way to communicate to people. I still see so much of that today.
It's still probably one of the number one forms of communication.
It definitely is. You know, and when you read on an email that one of your coworkers was just let go, you're waiting for the next email to be, where's one on me?
Right. I actually have a friend of mine who had an employee quit via email. She said she'd never had that happen before. She'd never had someone email her that they were leaving their position. And then they emailed her 2 days after they were let go to say, why haven't you replied to my email? Well, you quit. I kind of didn't think I needed to, right?
Yeah. Email is for communication is not an effective way to do it. I think that's proven, and most people would like to do it. I think what companies, I see good companies do, is they're beginning to learn how to leverage technology. They're leveraging technology with iPads. They're leveraging technology with the smartphones. They're figuring out ways in which they can communicate with their folks, with their customers, in an effective way using technology. And I think that's a great thing to do because technology is not going to go away.
Well, that makes sense, and that can be through a lot of different platforms, whether it be social media or text messaging or what have you. I'm finding that a lot of people, especially at the executive level, they'll respond to a text, whereas they won't pick up their telephone or they won't reply to an email. It's a really interesting dynamic.
You're exactly right. And as the demographics in this country change, and the older guys get older and the younger guys are going to get a little older, it's going to be with technology that they will be managing, leading, driving their businesses. It isn't going to be because of a stump speech necessarily. But I've got to emphasize the importance of building those relationships. So if you want to have somebody reply to your email or somebody to reply to your text message or your voicemail, you've got to build a relationship with that person. Otherwise, the chance of strong communication, it's pretty small.
Here's a quick communication question. Is it, I've heard that it's an effective strategy when you send an email communication to not ask more than one question in the email, because typically, and I don't know if you've seen this, you ask 2, 3, 4 questions in an email, people will oftentimes respond back to the first question and leave no reply to the next three. Is that true, or is that just coincidence?
Well, I don't have any statistics, but why don't we just pick up the phone and ask them the one question? I mean, really, is it that hard? You know, it drives me crazy when I go through the airport and you see people walking through the airport doing their text messages. I'll tell you a true story about going out for dinner with my wife one night, not that long ago here in Alpharetta. We sat down for dinner. A gentleman in a business attire comes in. His wife is with him and two little kids, summer attire. Dad just got off the airplane, or he just coming back from work, and they met for dinner. Through the first part of the evening, he was on his BlackBerry the whole time, not engaging in conversation with the wife, not having any kind of interaction with the kids. I mean, he's doing his emails, what I surmised. I'm thinking, why don't you just put your phone away? What's wrong with you? Put your phone away. You can deal with that later. Deal with that when the kids are in bed. Get up a little earlier tomorrow, maybe 20 minutes earlier tomorrow morning, and deal with it. It drove me crazy. Of course, now my wife is sitting there, sit, Randy, calm down. Right. Just sit here, mind your own business. But no, I mean, we're spending so much time doing, we're not engaging with people. We're not thinking. There are so many people busy solving problems, putting out fires. Why don't we get busy thinking about avoiding fires so we never have to worry about putting them out? We're always playing catch up.
Managing, not leading.
Exactly. We're trying to solve problems that we've created by throwing a quick solution at it versus a great solution at it, and it's it drives me crazy. So you asked me about speaking. I'm doing a keynote. I have a new keynote about the power of thinkership. The power of thinkership is all about the practice of mindful preparedness. The practice of mindful preparedness. And you see, people aren't prepared. They're reacting. They're just busily reacting. And in many cases, you know it's rude. It's also dangerous when you see people on the 400 texting their hearts out. You know, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So communication is a big thing, though. And I'm not saying that there isn't times when you've got to send a text or an email at a awfully odd hour. Sometimes you'll have to do that. Don't get me wrong. You have to do that, but you have to be mindful. You got your beautiful wife and you got your two little kids there. Spend time with them. Spend good quality time with them and be engaged with them.
Well, we've changed the dynamic of communication entirely, and I won't take us too far down this road,
sure.
But talking about the family having dinner, I mean, I literally know people that if you watch their Facebook status updates, you will see husband and wife talking to each other over Facebook when they are at the same location together, be it at home on their back deck or out at a restaurant, and that perplexes me. I'm like, you guys are there together. Are you just looking to share your life with us all, or are you actually that uncomfortable talking to one another? But
yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. Well, let's talk about this. If I'm a manager or a leader, how do I measure myself? I mean, again, we tend to think, hey, I'm doing a great job and pat ourselves on the back, but how do I know? How can I determine if I'm effective?
Well, you've got to get some feedback from somebody. You got to get feedback from somewhere. I always enjoyed getting feedback from my boss. I had a series of great bosses, and they were never afraid to tell me the opportunities where I could improve.
Oh, now that's a great question. I'm going to jump in here because you're saying you got the feedback from your boss, but what if you are the boss? Is it hard for those guys to get feedbacks because the lower ranks, they don't want to say anything negative? They don't want to tell you, hey, you're not really good at something.
Well, everybody's got a boss. Everybody has a boss. And other than getting feedback from your boss, even if you're the boss, you can get it from your board of directors, and you can get it, depends on where you are. There's a number of leadership self-assessments out there. They're online. You can find them. We have one on our website that you can access. Go online. 30 questions. Rate yourself. So you can rate yourself. Sometimes people rate themselves a little bit better than they really are. They have this special way of looking at themselves in the mirror. So self-assessments are one way, but they're not necessarily the best way. The best way I find for getting good feedback to identify opportunities for improvement are with 360-degree feedback surveys. A lot of people don't like them. Some people don't like them at all because they don't like to fill them out because they're afraid it will get back to me that I said something bad about the boss.
But those are anonymous, right?
They are anonymous. Yeah. At least the ones we do are anonymous. And most others I'm aware of are also anonymous. And I've had cases where I've had coaching clients where the coach or the leader would rate himself on communication. We're talking about communication on a scale of 1 out of 5. He would rate himself a 4. But his peers would rate him a 3. His boss would rate him a 5, which is high, 5 is good. Mm-hmm. And his direct reports rate him a 2. So there's a whole disconnect. There's a big gap between what the boss believes and what the folks are experiencing. Coaching somebody to, you know, recognize there is a gap here is a lot of what I do. And you'll see that sometimes people just object. They fold their arms, cross their arms, and say, no, I'm not doing this. It's not true. And bosses like that generally don't last very long in most organizations anyway.
Any business leaders that that you really admire that you kind of could hold up and for people listening, if you said, hey, this is somebody that you might want to study, emulate, understand them, and try to follow their example?
Well, the one that comes to mind for me in Atlanta is Arthur Blank. I'm a big fan of Arthur Blank. I've never met him. But what I saw him and Bernie Marcus do to build an organization like Home Depot, where it continues to thrive today, and what I see him doing within the Atlanta community and what he does with, you know, changing the culture of the Atlanta Falcons Football Club, to me is just amazing. I read a little piece about him, oh gosh, a long time ago, and sticks with me. And what I take away from it is that I share his values. You know, his values are people first. You know, when I say you must care about your people, people are first. He says you got to listen and then you act. Well, that to me is all about, you know, the stellar communication skills. You have to include everybody in your organization. You know, it's just not you, and it's just not your one or two direct reports. Your whole organization has something to contribute to the success of your organization. You got to be innovative, he says, and you got to set a good example and give back. Those are the things I like about Arthur Blank and what he does, and I just think he's a great leader. So anybody listening who like to learn more, he's a guy you should go learn from.
All right. Well, let's say that they can't get in front of Arthur Blank any more than maybe you've been able to so far, and they say, hey, I can't get in front of him, but who I can get in front of is I can get in front of this Randy Gorick guy. Yeah. How do they come about getting in touch with your organization, and what are some things maybe available to them, whether it be the assessments you talked about, or maybe you have some public keynotes or anything? I don't know what you have coming up, but share that with our listeners.
Sure. I can be reached in Atlanta at 678-566-3576, 678-566-3576. Or by email, randy@leadersedge360.com, randy@leadersedge360.com. My business is North American in scope, so it's not uncommon for me to not spend much time in Atlanta. Next week, I'll spend the whole week with clients and speaking engagements I have in Iowa, and I'm not on the political circuit. It just works. That's what just worked out. What I do primarily is coaching, individual coaching, team coaching. I do speaking, keynote speaking, breakout session speaking for associations and corporations. I also do a lot of training. I also have a complimentary webinar that I do once a month. The webinars are usually scheduled for the third Thursday. This one coming up in August is entitled Rock Solid Leadership, a five-step leadership self-development plan. I'll share with the audience five steps on how they can develop a plan for themselves to improve. I also do a weekly tip of the week, leadership tip of the week, every Thursday comes up. And that's something you can register for on my at my website, which is leadersedge360.com.
Well, fantastic. Anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with? Again, just thinking about this breaking the conventional thought process, if there's a pearl of wisdom that you want to leave them with when it comes to leadership, something they need to be thinking about, assuming that they aren't able to engage you from a coaching perspective. Any thoughts on what that would be?
Yeah, I think the thing that I like to share with people is old school. It goes back to John F. Kennedy. JFK once said that leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. Leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. So I encourage your listeners, my clients, to continue to learn and continue to develop as leaders. They could do that simply as reading. They could do research. They can do seminars, webinars. They can find a mentor. They can find a coach. And they can learn from the mistakes of other people. If you learn from the mistakes of other people, that's a tremendous way in which you can avoid making mistakes yourself.
Yeah, I love that as a final thought. It's so true. I'm so on board with that. You really never stop growing, or you never should. You never reach there. Even the greatest of mentors have mentors themselves.
Exactly.
I just think you always have to be investing in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And if not, then you're just your greatest ass. No, so I told you about that FCC thing,
yes,
right?
Did.
All right. So there it is. All right. Well, Randy, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate having you. I think you had some valuable information. For those of you listening out there, we appreciate you tuning in to Renegade Radio. Remember, we are here each and every Thursday at noon and sometimes on special occasions like we were Tuesday and Thursday of this week. So always be on the lookout at renegaderadio.businessradiox.com. Check us out at renegadeconcepts.com, where you can learn more about our sponsor, as well as the entire Business Radio X family and myself. We say thank you for listening. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.